Hi, Simon here. My new book, Verified Near-Death Experiences, Proof of an Afterlife, is now available for pre-order as an ebook and audiobook on Amazon and at Barnes & Noble. This book shares many incredible near-death experiences, each with verifiable proof that challenges everything we think we know about consciousness and the afterlife. In the book, individuals whose hearts had stopped and whose brains had flatlined saw things that were later verified. Things they should not have been able to see, because by all medical understanding, they were dead. These are real stories, backed by real evidence, that will make you question what lies beyond. If you're fascinated by near-death experiences and mysteries of life and death, pre-order your copy today. Again, that's Verified Near-Death Experiences, Proof of an Afterlife, available for pre-order on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. Welcome to our paranormal afterlife. This is an Our Paranormal Afterlife extra episode, and I'm your host Simon Bowne. And just so you know, there is an Our Paranormal Afterlife Facebook group, and if you'd like to join, you'd be very welcome. In this extra episode, I'm talking to Aaron Green about his near-death experience. At just 6 years old, he had his NDE, but within months, the memory faded. Decades later, as an adult, the experience suddenly resurfaced. Hi, Aaron. Thanks a lot for coming on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So we're going to talk to you about your near-death experience. So this happened when you were six.
Yeah, so I'll get right into it. Shortly before my sixth birthday, I'd been playing with some friends in a neighbor's backyard. And, you know, this was probably in 1980 before cell phones and computer games and all that stuff. And so we used to just go around the neighborhood and play and do that sort of thing. And so this one day I was with my brother and maybe five or six friends. And I'm not exactly sure what happened, but somehow I had a lot of trouble breathing. I couldn't take a breath of air no matter what I did. I would just... I was unable to breathe and there's nothing I could do. So I started trying to walk home and I got maybe, 10 or 20 feet away from my friends and this breathing problem, it triggered for me, for my consciousness to leave my body. I didn't pass out, but I like literally left my body and I watched as my body fell to the ground and I was just kind of like floating there over my body. And it was kind of like waking up from a dream, only it was this life that was the dream. And a couple things were immediately obvious. One was that like the flow of time just felt different. I can't really describe it, but I could tell that it was, something was different. Like this was a very different state of being than what it had been like to be a child. And almost immediately, my entire life played out before me. In extreme detail, like the entire 6 years of life, basically, you know, flashed before me from start to finish, and like nothing was left out. And the strange thing was that I didn't just re-experience my own feelings and thoughts and experiences, but I could literally feel the feelings of those around me, which was mostly my parents, because I was just a kid, and. You know, a couple of things really stood out. One was my mother's love for me, that took on a significance to it that was more than I had realized. And then I could literally feel my father's frustration and anger with changing diapers and when I would cry as a baby. You know, he was a good father, but I could feel that frustration during that life review. Like it stood out. And then when that was over, I was just kind of floating there and I noticed a light in the distance and there was something, really important about that light, but I instinctively knew it was important, but I didn't know why. I didn't really understand it. So I didn't really focus too much attention on that. But I was just kind of floating there, above my body. And, I started to kind of have questions like, you know, what's going on type of thing. And when I would have a question, it was like the answer would come to me in extreme detail. Like I would remember something that I had forgotten while I was living this life. And it would like replay kind of like my life review. You know, there was a whole bunch of information that I could experience very quickly, you know, way faster than you can as a person. But anyway, one of my first questions was, you know, what am I? You know, because it was obvious that I wasn't this body anymore, but I still existed. And I could kind of like see myself from the outside, and I just existed as like a round orb of faint light. As a kid, it kind of reminded me of an egg, you know, just a round shaped small orb. And there was a faint light that was coming from within me. And after that, I asked, you know, where did I come from? I knew that I had existed prior to being this person. And I wanted to know, you know, where did I come from? I had this feeling like I had been like this a lot, like I had been in this same state many, many times before. So when I had the question of where did I come from, this memory came back to me in extreme detail, kind of like when my entire life flashed before me. But I had been in with hundreds or thousands of other orb-shaped souls. We existed in this, what I would call a sea of light. We were all together, and it was extremely bright, this bright, like golden white light, very bright. And we were all very content, and we were, you know, reasonably happy. And it was like just it was a very pleasant existence. And we would periodically get these treats that would come to us. As a kid, it reminded me of a cookie, but it wasn't a cookie. And, you know, periodically we would get these treats or gifts, and we all enjoyed them very much. And one time there was like one fewer gift than there were souls in this group. And I recognized that, and everybody else knew it too. And so I made the conscious decision that I was going to give up this treat so that all those around me, that they could enjoy the treat, because I knew that they wanted it just as much as I did. And when the last soul got the last treat, I was very, very gently lifted up out of this group by something powerful that I didn't really understand at the time. And I was contacted like in a mind-to-mind kind of communication, and this powerful entity contacted me and communicated that it was my creator and that I was very much loved, and that what I had done by giving up something that I wanted to benefit those around me, that was very important, and that indicated that I was ready to begin some kind of process. Like I was ready for something, and I didn't really understand what. So this consciousness that contacted me, which I'll just call God, but I kind of view it as my creator. Basically he explained that he was loving, compassionate, kind, and honest, and that I needed to develop those same characteristics for myself. I needed to become loving, compassionate, kind, honest, you know, generous, considerate, all these loving characteristics, and that there was a wonderful existence in store for me and for all these other souls, and that when we were ready, we would have extreme happiness and we would really, really enjoy our existence. But we were created simple and with free will, and we needed to freely choose these loving traits in order for us to really enjoy our existence. And So I thought, okay, that sounds okay. But I asked, you know, couldn't you just change me? Can't you just, why didn't you just make us all already loving and compassionate and kind and all this other stuff that we need to be? And God explained that a core part of our creation was that we were going to have free will. Like that was really, really important. That was like a cornerstone of the reason for our creation in the first place. And that in order for either God to change us and make us that way, or to create us already loving and compassionate and kind, it would kind of like be a violation of our free will. And so instead, the way it worked was we were created simple, and we needed to learn through our own experiences, our own trial and error, that these traits bring us happiness, and that, you know, when we act in the opposite way, it brings us unhappiness. And anyway, by going through this process that God had created, we would be able to freely choose those traits for ourselves, because we would recognize that they brought us happiness and they were just a better way to be. I asked some more questions about this journey that we had, and God basically explained that he had created this process that would allow us to learn and to grow and to become experienced and mature. And that process would prepare us for extreme happiness, and we would really enjoy our existence. And God was absolutely sure that this plan was wonderful, that every detail had been considered down to the smallest, the smallest detail had been considered and tweaked to perfection, and that this was a really, really good plan. And God was very confident about that. I can't really convey how confident God was and how that confidence came across, but he was very confident. So I thought, okay, well, I guess that sounds reasonable. And God asked, you know, before you go on this journey, would you like to see my face? And I was like, okay, sure. And so my attention turned away from, like, God changed my focus away from this group of souls that I had been looking at. And I was now focused on a giant sun-like entity. It was like billions and billions of souls that were all together. And these souls were, they were like much more mature, and they were way, way happier than the souls that I had started out with. It's like they had already gone through this experience. They were done with all the difficult things, and now they were just enjoying their existence, and their happiness was off the charts. And some of them, they kind of like took their focus off of what they were doing, and they like came to the surface, and they looked at me and greeted me and welcomed me into existence. And they basically said that they understood that I was going to go through something difficult, but that I was going to join them after I had gone through my experience. And they were very happy about that because I was going to be able to bring something unique to this group that no other soul could bring. It was like each and every soul was unique and irreplaceable. And so they were happy that I was going to join them someday because I would increase everyone's happiness just a little bit. So anyway, God asked me, you know, are you sure you're willing to go through this adventure? It's very brief, but it's important, and it's going to be beneficial to you. And I agreed. And like that, it's like I was shot. I was not shot. I was moving very quickly away from this setting. And God was still in communication with me with like mind-to-mind communication or telepathic communication. And we started to look at all these different planets that I could go to. Like there was like thousands and thousands of different planets that we looked at. And it was all kind of the same idea where I would have, I could go to any of these places and I would have a physical life that would give me the experiences I need to learn about compassion, honesty, you know, fairness, humility, all these loving traits that I needed to develop. And it didn't really matter which one I went to spiritually, but obviously the lives were all different on all these different planets. And I don't remember any details of any of these, but we got to Earth, and there was something about Earth that I really, really liked. It was like, I knew this was the place I wanted to go. I was absolutely positive. And God asked me if I was sure. And when I said, yes, I'm sure, basically that's it. The decision was made. And it's kind of like that answered with that, my initial question that I had about where did I come from was answered. And I was back to, floating around in my neighbor's backyard next to my body. And I started to have more questions. You know, I asked, well, how did I become Aaron Green? Like, why am I this person? And so again, this experience that I had previously been through, it replayed very quickly. And I saw how I became Aaron Green. And so it started out, I was with a group of guides, and I should point out in that first memory I had of where I was created, like that was a new soul. Like I had never been to Earth before, but in this new memory of becoming Aaron Green, it was obvious that I had I had lived many lives before. Like it was self-evident, and it kind of plays into how I became this person. But I was with these guides, and I was kind of like in a rough state. I was kind of confused. I was frustrated. It's like I had been through something very difficult, and I had made some mistakes, and I felt bad about the mistakes I had made. And my guides were trying to help me. And basically, they wanted me to come back to Earth and live another life. And I was very hesitant to do that. I didn't want to come back to Earth. But my guides basically pointed out that, hey, you know, you're kind of stuck like this. And I was in like a not such a great state, and you need to go back to Earth, and it'll help get yourself straightened out, and you'll be much, much happier after you go through another life. But I didn't want to come. I didn't want to come back to Earth. And one of the guides suggested, okay, well, how about if we show you one of the souls that you'll help if you do go back to Earth? And I said, okay, well, I guess you could show me that. And they showed me that I would help some other souls, and that me coming back to Earth and living another life would be helpful to these other souls. And that kind of awakened something in me. And I was like, okay, well, maybe we could consider it. And so my guides and I transitioned to this kind of like another realm. And we started looking at some of the lives I could lead. And they showed me this life they had planned for me, where I would be an extremely angry person. I would have a life that had a very difficult childhood, and something about that would make me angry. And I would go through life as an angry person. And basically, from a spiritual perspective, by my soul constantly working against that anger of this person, it would be a lot of growth for my soul. It would be kind of a difficult, angry life. But that process of constantly working against that anger would be very beneficial to me. But I rejected that life. I was like, there's no way I'm going to do that. I don't consent, but like I was not willing to live that life. And my guides respected that. They were like, okay, we'll look at some other lives. And so we looked at a nearby set of parents that were going to conceive a child, and the guides and I started looking at, you know, what was possible with these parents. And we looked at all the genetic makeup that they had and what kind of children they could have. And it became obvious that these parents had the genes for a redheaded child. And that really appealed to me. I really liked the idea of being a redheaded child. And I wanted to be a girl because I felt like being a girl, they were less violent. I would be less likely to hurt other people. I think maybe in a past life, I had hurt some other people. And now I was very much, I didn't want to hurt anybody. And I felt like being a girl would help me to not hurt anybody. And I really liked the red hair. But when we started to look at more details, it became obvious that like my personality and the limited amount of genes available to these parents for a redheaded girl, it just didn't work. It wasn't the right fit. Like I would have been kind of an awkward person, and I never would have gotten married, and I would have had trouble making friends, that kind of thing. And so I passed on being a redheaded girl, and I thought, well, what about being a redheaded boy? And somehow there was even fewer choices for that for these parents for a redheaded boy. So we started looking at brown hair, and there was all kinds of choices for a brown haired boy. And it quickly became obvious that was a better fit for me. And we started to look at some of the details, and I was thinking, okay, well, if I'm going to have to come back to Earth again, I want to be very, very good looking, like, you know, one of the best looking people on the planet, like someone you'd see on the cover of a magazine or like a movie star, that kind of thing. And these parents had those genes available to them, but my guides pointed out, well, you know, if you're really good looking, you're going to have certain opportunities. Women are going to treat you differently, and where you are in your development, you're not going to be able to resist certain temptations. And it became obvious that there was a downside to being too promiscuous. And so I realized that I didn't want the spiritual downside of being overly promiscuous. So we backed the attractiveness down to something a little closer to average, you know, still okay looking, but closer to average. And then we started looking at intelligence, and I wanted to be like one of the smartest people on the planet, just a super genius. And those genes were available to these parents, but my guides kind of pointed out, well, if you're like a super genius, You're going to be arrogant. You're going to be conceited. You're going to have trouble working with other people. You would become an atheist, and it would cause lots of problems for you. You wouldn't have a lot of friends, and you know, you would develop some characteristics that have spiritual downsides. And so, kind of like what we did with my attractiveness, we backed my intelligence down to something reasonably intelligent, but nothing extraordinary. No Albert Einstein or Aristotle or anything like that. And so we looked at, you know, exactly what this body would be like. And it was my choice, or at least my agreement, down to every detail, down to the most intimate detail. I knew what kind of body I was getting myself into. And when we arrived at the right kind of body, my guides pointed out, well, you know, this body, there's a couple unintended consequences here. One is that what you've chosen, you would have extremely bad acne as a teenager for a couple years. And it would be like, you know, kind of like the worst kid in the school, the worst acne. And we took a look at that, and my guides basically pointed out that it would be a growth opportunity for me, for my spiritual development. Going through that difficulty would actually help me with my development, but it would be very difficult for a couple years. And what's interesting is, as a soul looking at a life, these 2 years of difficulty of having bad acne, it seemed extremely brief to me, like almost like it was nothing. And we're talking like a couple years of bad acne. And because it was going to help with my development anyway, I figured, okay, I'll just go through that. And so I accepted that. And then they also showed me that the genes, like there was a possibility with the genes available to me that I could have a clubbed foot. And we took a look at that, and basically, for me to have a club foot, it wasn't really, it wouldn't benefit me spiritually. It wasn't something that was going to help with my development, and it wouldn't help anyone else around me. So I passed on the club foot. And so when we arrived at what we thought was the right body, then my guide started talking about, well, some of the plans that they had for my life. They had a couple of things that they wanted to happen in my life, and they had people or souls that they wanted me to interact with. And it's like my life plan and the plan for all these other souls was kind of like meshed together. Like there was a plan for all these different souls to mesh together, and we would help each other. And like my weaknesses would line up with their strengths and vice versa. And we would end up helping each other. And so they wanted to show me one soul in particular that I was going to work with. And I think this is really interesting. They wanted me to meet this soul, and they said, okay, we're going to need to lower our vibration down to match this other soul so that we can meet temporarily and talk about this upcoming life. But I needed to agree to it. So I agreed to it, and our spiritual vibration, or whatever you call it, it was reduced. And then we lined up with this other soul so that we could interact. And then we had like basically a brief interaction. And I was happy with the idea of helping this other soul, and they were happy with the prospect of how our planned interaction would help them with their development. So then I agreed to my guides. Okay, you know, I agree to this situation that they were trying to plan out, and likewise they had a number of different situations they wanted to plan out, and they also showed me some brief clips from like previous lives. There was stuff I had done in previous lives that would now play into my current life. And they showed me in, you know, pretty good detail a couple of these situations. And one of them really stands out. In a previous life, they showed me how I had been in a fight, and I had been kind of a big, strong guy, and I beat up this other guy pretty bad. And, you know, they showed me that scene from this previous life. And during the life, I felt like, you know, I'm big, I'm strong, I could beat up this guy, and I felt good about it. But watching this scene with my guides, it was clear that I had gone too far, that I didn't need to fight this guy. I could have easily avoided the fight, and that, you know, what I had done was not a good choice. And now my guides, basically, I was going to be on the receiving end of what I had given out in a past life, and that going through this experience would help me to help with my spiritual development. I would learn to be more peaceful, avoid fights if I can, that sort of thing. And basically the plan was, as a teenager, I was going to have my nose broken, and it was going to be difficult, but they needed my agreement in order to set this up for my life plan. But I agreed to it because I knew that this experience from the previous life, it's kind of like it was holding me back spiritually. It prevented me from enjoying greater happiness in the spiritual realms. And so by going through this experience, even though it was difficult, it would help me with my development and help me reach a higher level of happiness when I left this life. And they showed me a number of other things I had done in previous lives. And some of it is, I don't want to get into it, but let's just say it's not good. Okay, I had done some stuff in previous lives that's not good. And some of that was going to play into my upcoming life. But they needed my agreement for that to be part of the plan. And then there was stuff I had done that was good in previous lives. Like I had helped I had helped society progress, and I had, you know, done some hard work. I'd raised children at different times. I had contributed to the growth of humanity and the progress. And because I had done, you know, lived these lives and done some of this hard work, I was able to enjoy some things in this life, like, you know, clean water, a nice house. I have air condition and heat. These are all luxuries that basically we need to put in some of the work in order to enjoy these luxuries. And as lives go on and on, we can enjoy more and more luxuries as we contribute more and more to society. And that was all kind of obvious in this situation. But anyway, I agreed to a number of different interactions. Another thing stands out is that there was a time I had hurt someone pretty bad. And in this life that was coming up, I was going to have my shoulders were going to be dislocated. I was going to have problems. And basically that was tied specifically to how I had hurt someone in a previous life. And there were some other things like that. So when we got the full plan between my physical body and the plans that the guides had for my life all put together, the guides asked me again, are you sure you're willing to do this? You know, I had been hesitant at first, and I looked at the entire life and you know, what was planned out for me. And basically I said, okay, you know, I agree. I will do this. I knew I needed to come to Earth anyway. And then if I delayed it, it would be kind of pointless, and I would just be missing out on a lot of enjoyment in my spiritual existence. So with that, the decision was made, and it's like I was off to live my life. I got to witness the creation of this body, the conception, and that was very beautiful from a spiritual point of view. But I didn't join with this new body until shortly before birth, and I think that's when I lost all these spiritual memories, was right when I merged with the body. And then I had like kind of like a blank slate at that point. But that answered my question. And then I was back to, floating over my body in my neighbor's backyard, just kind of wandering around aimlessly, just floating there as an orb of consciousness. And I had another question. I wanted to know, okay, well, what happens between lives? Like, I know I've lived all these different lives and I've gone back to the spiritual realms. Like what was I doing between lives? Like, what does that look like? What do souls do when they're between lives? And again, I was shown a number of different places I had been between lives, or realms I had been in between lives, I should say. And, some of them weren't so good, but some of them were fantastic. And I was shown this realm I had been in where I had been essentially almost like a monster. I had been a violent, angry, hideous creature, and I was just fighting with all these other violent, angry creatures. And like, we didn't remember that we had been on Earth. We didn't know we had any kind of future beyond this. We were just all absolutely miserable, and we hated each other, and we hated our existence. And I had existed like that for a while. But when I stopped fighting with the others who were with me, I had been pulled up out of this melee by a being of light or an angel. And basically I asked, why did you pull me up out of this this fight. And they told me that when I quit fighting with others, I didn't belong there anymore. They wanted me to transition to another life to, you know, continue my spiritual development. And they further told me that none of the souls down there that were fighting with each other and miserable, that none of them would stay like that forever. Every one of them would eventually be able to transition out of that horrible place into someplace better. And I was shown another realm I had been in, which was, it was very dark. You couldn't really see anything. And there was a whole bunch of souls that were just kind of standing around. It wasn't a miserable existence, but it was a little bit unhappy. And the souls there were kind of like lost and confused and didn't know what was going on. And this one woman's voice kind of stands out. She was just yelling profanity the whole time we were there. And somehow the profanity that she was using was much worse than you would hear on Earth. But again, there was some guides that were helping, and some beings of light who were helping. And I agreed to go with one of these beings of light. They wanted to help me. And by going with them, they helped me transition and begin a new life. And I saw another realm kind of like that, where it was dark, and there was buildings, but they were like ugly buildings, and they were a dirt road. The buildings were kind of like crooked, but it looked kind of like Earth. But the souls there were unhappy. They didn't really know what was going on. They were continuing to do the same kind of things they had done in life, but it wasn't very happy. And I saw another realm I had been in, and this realm kind of looked like Earth. There was buildings that were beautiful. They were pretty. The streets were very nice. There was a lamppost I remember specifically that had ornate details to it. And the people there were living a life, or not living a life, but they were... The kind of existence they had was very much like a earthly life, where they were doing the same kind of things they had done on Earth. But this was like in a spiritual realm. And I had, when I got to this realm, I quickly realized that this was kind of like a midway realm. And so I quickly left to continue my spiritual development. I didn't want to stay at this midway realm when there were so much happier realms that I could get to. And so I quickly transitioned out of that realm. And then there was another realm I had been in, which was, it was like a city of light, where I was like a being of light, and all the other souls there were a translucent light. And the happiness in this realm was just kind of unbelievable, like just extremely happy. And all the buildings there were absolutely beautiful and translucent and made of light. It was just a really, really happy place. I couldn't even describe how happy the beings were there. With that, I was back to floating around next to my body. And I started to realize that after this life, I could transition back to a really happy spiritual realm. Like I would, that was kind of what I had worked out as the deal for this life. And so I was ready to go. Like I was done with being a human. I wanted to get back to this really happy spiritual realm, which I considered to be my home. And I was so ready to go back. Like I was thrilled that I could transition back to that kind of realm. But just as I thought that a being of light, an angel, perhaps some very beautiful being of light came at me very quickly and said, "You are not to leave your body." And with that, it's like, bam, I was back in my body. And I stood up, and my brother at that point had become concerned about me, because I guess he had just seen my body just laying there for, I don't know, maybe 30 seconds. But when I stood up, he went back to ignoring me and went back to play with our friends. And I just walked home, and I tried to explain it to my mom. But you know, I was a little kid. I couldn't explain all this stuff. Okay. It was completely outside of my vocabulary, and, you know, I wasn't good at communicating anyway. As an introvert with a speech impediment, it was kind of difficult for me anyway. And so there's no way I could share this experience, but I would think about it like every day for months, you know, think about the things I had seen, try to put it all together. And after roughly 6 months, I was contacted by the same guides who had worked with me in planning this life. And they basically communicated two things to me. They told me that, what I had experienced it was preventing me from, it was like interfering with my life plan. Like I couldn't live life as intended because of what I had experienced, what I had seen. And they wanted to hide that from me because I would never be able to develop faith with what I had experienced. And so I asked, well, why does that matter? And they explained it to me, and I couldn't understand what they explained to me. But they basically said that faith is important. And, you know, since you've seen it, you can't develop faith. And that's not the way life was intended to be lived. So I agreed to have my life, my experience hidden from me. And they told me that when I was much older, you know, middle-aged, I would get those memories back. And then they also told me that there was going to need to be some changes to my life plan, and that my life was going to need to be a little bit more difficult. I was going to need to overcome some different challenges than what had been planned. They needed to tweak my life plan to accommodate for this experience. And by tweaking the life plan, it would prepare me to be able to handle what I had seen. And I didn't like it because I knew it would make my life more difficult. But my guides assured me that it was necessary, and I trusted them and I believed them. And so I agreed to what they suggested. And after that, I didn't think about my experience anymore. You know, I went through life. As a teenager, I had horrible acne. I had my nose broken in a fight at one point, and that was difficult. I had my shoulders dislocated in two different injuries, two different events. But they, you know, they got better, and I'm doing fine with that now. And then about roughly 12 years ago, 13 years ago, I was reading a Newsweek article about a guy named Eben Alexander. He was a neurosurgeon who had a near-death experience. And when I read that article, like I believed what he said about his experience. I believed him, and I kind of like accepted the existence of God at a deeper level. I think more than I had ever accepted it before. I was raised a Catholic or a Christian, and I had a faith in God, but I think something about reading about his experience really, it triggered for me a deeper sense of faith, a deeper acceptance. And I guess that was important, but it somehow triggered for me the recall of all these memories that I had from when I was a kid. And I hadn't, you know, stuff I hadn't thought about since I was 6 years old. And it kind of like all came back to me. And so that was about 12, 13 years ago. And so I've been trying to, you know, share my experience when I can since then, and just tell other people what I had been through.
When you had that experience and you were a six-year-old and you were having that out-of-body experience where you would have been more soulful, do you feel that you had a mature perspective than a six-year-old?
Yeah, I think so. Initially, when I first left my body, it was kind of like there was a I don't know, like it's kind of like waking up from a dream. You know, you're kind of groggy, you're a little bit confused at first, but as more and more time goes on, you become more and more awake and aware. And there was a similar kind of situation leaving my body, where initially I was a little bit confused, but as I had more of these memories back, I became much more aware. And it was kind of like I was getting back to be my old self, my old spiritual self. And yeah, I had a viewpoint way beyond what a six-year-old would have as my experience started to end.
So do you feel that this changed you as a six-year-old? Or, you know, because you remembered it for a short while.
Right. Yeah, I think it did. I think I was pretty confused by the experience. I was trying to understand it, and you know, as a six-year-old, you don't really have a full view of the world, you know, this world. And so to try to develop a good understanding of the afterlife and how all that works, it was kind of challenging because everything else in the world was also challenging for me to understand.
Was your body kind of, I don't know, dead for 30 seconds and then the near-death experience lasted hours?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to answer that because I think from an earthly point of view, my body was just laying there approximately 30 seconds. But as I see it, time just doesn't really exist in the same way in the spiritual realms. Like there's something just fundamentally different about it. And what I experienced, like it was kind of outside of time. I don't know if I could say it was hours or days or there's just not a good correlation between time in the spiritual realms and time in the physical realms. But the amount of information that I was able to process and absorb and understand very quickly was really kind of amazing. Like I could relive that entire 6 years of life in just, you know, like a fraction of a second. It was very quick, but you could understand it all in great detail very quickly. And so it's kind of hard to correlate time in the spiritual realms to time in the physical realms, in my opinion.
Because it seems like you had that life review where you saw so much of this 6 years of life, but it came to you so quickly. It's like your intellect was a lot faster.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I definitely seemed like I was much smarter, more self-aware. Like it was more real than this physical life. And I felt like a better version of myself, I guess I would say. Definitely way smarter and able to handle a whole lot more information.
And was your eyesight, your hearing, all this kind of stuff much better than right now?
Yeah. I think it was significantly better.
I've heard other near-death experiences talk about colors and how everything's so vibrant and you see colors that you just don't see on Earth. Was it like that for you?
Yeah, there was parts of the experience that were like that and parts that weren't. I think I experienced a whole bunch of different things, but there was definitely one realm that stands out that had just beautiful flowers and the colors were, I don't know, it's like there's more colors and they're better than the colors we see on Earth. Somehow it's all just much more beautiful.
You were shown previous lives and there was a lot of stuff about reincarnation.
Yeah.
And is that something when you're an adult that jarred with you because of your upbringing?
You know, as a six-year-old, I didn't have any opinion one way or another about reincarnation. It was kind of like something I'd never even considered. And then, you know, I had this experience that showed pretty clearly that it was, you know, it's an actual thing. It really happens. I guess it was more like I was surprised when I was an adult and I got these memories back. And I realized, oh, wow, we really do have multiple lives. I was kind of, I was a little shocked by it and taken aback because it wasn't really something I'd given proper attention to as a kid. You know, I just kind of went along with society. You know, most people kind of look down on the idea of reincarnation, or at least in where I live, they do. And so I just kind of gone along with society without even ever really giving it the proper thought that it deserves. And so, yeah, I was kind of surprised when I realized that, yeah, incarnation is the real thing.
And you talked about having the injuries to your shoulders and your nose, and that was kind of related to previous lives. Is that, you know, because maybe you were violent in a previous life. So having those injuries in this life, is it something to do with like karma and you're experiencing that to balance it out?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, I don't really like to use the phrase karma, but honestly, it fits really well. Like I saw some of this stuff I had done in a previous life and saw exactly how it was going to be played into my current life. And basically I was receiving what I had given out previously, just like, how people describe karma. So yeah, it seems to me that the karma is pretty much a real thing and that we're all bound by it. But I think the important thing to point out there is that it's not just the bad karma. You know, if we do something bad, it's going to come back to us. But it seemed to me like if we do something good, it's going to come back to us even greater. Like we get interest on the good things we do. It's returned to us with interest. So it works both ways. It's not just the bad stuff that we do.
With the life review, how was that experience? Because I've had people tell me it came up like a hologram in front of them, and somebody else said it was like it was on a TV screen, and others have said it was like they were surrounded in a bubble of memories. How did you experience it?
For me, I guess the closest I would say would be like a 3D movie screen. But it, you know, even that doesn't really do it justice. You know, I got to re-experience my entire life, but not just from my perspective. But what I think is really interesting is that I could, you know, feel my parents, like how I had made them feel. Like I could literally feel that. And so it's more than just watching it. It's also the feelings and then how we impact other people in our lives.
And was there a feeling there then, when you, particularly when you remembered it as an adult, that you, it would change how you would interact with people and you'd be kinder because you had that empathy?
Oh, absolutely. You know, having that experience and recognizing that, you know, what I had done in past lives affects my current life, I'm definitely sensitive to the fact that what I do in this life could affect what I, what kind of happiness I have in a future life. And if I was to, you know, go out and beat somebody out up or steal something from them, that could negatively impact me in the future. So I definitely try to be, you know, treat people better based on my experience.
So do you feel that that life review, you were judging yourself?
A little bit. I didn't feel like anybody else was judging me. I did, like, I recognized that, you know, being a baby and crying and having a dirty diaper and that kind of thing, that had made my dad frustrated and made him angry at times. But what I also really, what stood out to me was that I hadn't really done anything wrong. You know, I was just a baby, and, you know, that's just what it is to have a baby, is that they cry sometimes and they have diapers. And so I kind of judged that as, well, I hadn't done anything wrong because I was just a baby and I didn't deliberately cause any, you know, frustration for him.
Did you see anything that perhaps you've talked to your family and you kind of said, I saw you do this or I saw you do that, and they would be able to say, yeah, but you were unconscious when that happened. How could you have seen it?
Not exactly, because, you know, this happened in roughly 1980, and I didn't get the what they call a recall of these memories until 2012. And so anything that had happened with my parents was so long ago that I couldn't really, like, they didn't remember anything that I would have mentioned. So no, I wasn't able to do that, but I have heard that other people have had experiences where they're able to do that.
So when your memory did come back, was it all in like a big hit that was overwhelming, or is it kind of gradual?
I'd say about half of it was one big hit where it came back to me. And that was definitely kind of overwhelming. That was kind of a lot to have that realization. And then the other half is kind of like, I remember bits and pieces as time goes on.
So I was interested in this idea of these different realms that people might be in, and some of them could be quite awful and some of them quite good. But it sort of sounds like you go to the place that your spiritual frequency matches.
Yeah, that was a big deal in the spiritual realms, that we all, it's kind of like there's a spiritual frequency that we have. And as we come into life and we do loving, kind, compassionate things for other people, that raises our spiritual frequency. And, you know, after we go through life, we go back to the spiritual realms, and hopefully we've lived a loving life where we've been good to other people, and that will have raised our spiritual frequency and therefore our spiritual happiness. And the souls that are, you know, they're involved in hate and murder and torture and that kind of horrible thing, they have a very low vibration and they're in a miserable realm. But your vibration level is like very important in the spiritual realms, and you can't really move to higher levels. If a soul tries, they become extremely uncomfortable and they want to go back to their natural vibration level. But I witnessed for myself that a soul can like lower their vibration and move down to a lower level pretty easily. But when they do that, they're not as happy and they're not as intelligent. So there's a downside to, you know, reducing our vibration to go see someone at a lower level. But we can quickly, you know, change it back and go back to our normal level.
And would the souls lower themselves to lower levels? And they're doing that because they're going somewhere where they're trying to help those lower frequency souls.
Yeah, it seemed like souls at the higher levels, the happy realms, they were either enjoying themselves to a great degree, or they were doing what they could to help other souls. Like that was it's a big joy for these happy souls if they can help another soul to move up and become better. And it seemed like there was all kinds of souls that their whole their whole job, their whole focus was on helping other lower level souls to progress and move to happier realms.
So there's this idea that terrible things happen in life because we agreed to them before we were born, like we were talking about your injuries. But do you think there are things that bad that happen in life that just happen and it wasn't part of a plan?
Yeah, that's a good question. I guess I'm not sure. I kind of think the bad things that happen in life, there's a mix. Like I saw for me, some of these bad things were something that were directly related to something I'd done in a previous life. Some of them, it was like an extra difficulty I'd taken on to help me with my development, but it wasn't tied to another life. Some of the difficulties I took on or agreed to were related to me trying to help another person. Like me going through some difficulty was specifically for me to help another person. And then, you know, some of this stuff, I don't know, like maybe I had done something in life, made some kind of choice, and then I get hurt by it. So I think it's a big mix, that there's all kinds of different reasons why people go through bad things in life. And there's no one answer that fits for everything that happens.
Do you feel that perhaps you plan out the life in a lot of detail, but then maybe you just go off the plan because you have free will and you might end up in the afterlife after that? And your guides will say to you, you got to go back and do it again. You didn't, you know, stick to the plan.
Yeah, I definitely think that we maintain free will. That was my guides told me that point blank, that while I was living life, I would always have free will and the ability to make, you know, whatever decisions I want. But I got the impression that they planned for like all kinds of contingency plans. Like it's not just you have one plan in life, but the guides are, because the planning takes place outside of time, they're able to, you know, plan all these different lives in a way that would be kind of unimaginable to us while we're living this life. And that they're able to balance out all these different decisions that we might make and still have a plan for how this is all going to go. So it's kind of like we maintain free will and we can always do whatever we want to. But there is still a plan for all of this. Somehow God's able to plan accordingly. And then also, I think if, let's say I completely mess up this life and I just do all kinds of stuff I shouldn't do, I don't think we relive that same life again. I think instead our guides will work with us to develop a new life. You know, we'll be coming back to resolve all those issues that we had created for ourselves in the previous life.
You agreed to have these injuries to your shoulders and others. Were you shown anything else that you agreed to that hasn't happened yet? Or is the future after that, like they wouldn't let you remember?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't have any like real specific memories of stuff that's going to happen in the future. But I have had a couple things like that. At work, there was someone, like, I remember this person from my experience. I was like, why do I remember this person? Like we had some kind of arrangement or agreement or somehow I was going to help this person, but I hardly knew them at work. You know, it was just a kind of a casual acquaintance. And we had no deep, meaningful relationship. And then lo and behold, there was, you know, some people are moved around. There was a reorganization kind of thing. And then I'm sitting next to this guy for 3 years. And so That was kind of a situation where, you know, something I remember from my experience that hadn't happened yet ended up happening. And then there's also this other person that I remember from my experience where somehow I was going to be able to help them quite a bit. But like somehow our interaction would be helpful to them and as far as their spiritual development goes. But again, we only had kind of a casual relationship. I didn't know them well at all. And then now there's been some reorganization and whatnot. And now this person's my boss at work. And so, you know, we're going to be spending a lot of time together. And so I haven't really done much to help this person yet, but based on my experience, I think I probably am, but I don't really know exactly what that looks like.
So at the end of that experience, you kind of refused. You said you didn't want to come back to Earth. And then you were pushed back, kind of forced back. Is that how you see it?
Before I ever became Aaron Green, I didn't want to come back to Earth. But I wasn't forced to come back. It was more like they showed me how it would benefit me and others. And then I agreed to come back. But I would not say I was forced. But at the end of my experience, I was, kind of floating outside of my body, and this being of light came to me. And I think what happened is they told me, you're not to leave your body. And I think they told me to look down, and somehow that had some kind of significance in the spiritual realm. And they didn't force me to do that, but I obeyed the command without question. So I don't think they violated my free will, but I did exactly what they told me to do.
So are you happy with the choices that you made for this life? I mean, do you ever think, oh man, I wish I was better looking or I was cleverer?
Yeah. I have a certain amount of vanity and, wish I was better looking or smarter or, had a better body or whatever. But I guess I realize and accept that, I'm here for my spiritual development, and this is the body and intelligence and life that is best suited for my spiritual development. And I just do the best I can with that.
Do you have a plan to write a book about everything that's happened?
Let me go back to the last question real briefly.
Yeah.
I think the bigger thing is I saw some of the things I did in previous lives that I now think are huge mistakes. And I kind of, I have regrets about some of the stuff I'd done in previous lives. I think more so than this life, but I have regrets about, decisions I've made in this life too. But yeah, I am actually working on a book. I've been working on it for quite a while, but I hope to get it wrapped up here. Hopefully this year and get it out.
It's been great talking to you. Thanks a lot for coming on the podcast.
Yeah, thank you, Simon. I appreciate the opportunity to share my experience, and I appreciate what you're doing with your channel.
Thanks. And that was an interview with Aaron Green about his near-death experience. And please look out for our Paranormal Afterlife episodes called Paranormal Stories that are released every week. And there is an Our Paranormal Afterlife Facebook group. If you'd like to join, you'd be very welcome. And if you enjoy the podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.